Hi, my name's Russell Norman, and welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, Zilla Babbitt reads her moving post-apocalyptic story, Kataris Grocery Store. This is the second story we have featured by Zilla Babbitt on Blue Marble Storytellers. Her previous story, The Longing, can be found on episode 5. Zilla is one of the top writers on the Readsy Prompts short story writing website, and many of her great stories can be found there. Please enjoy.
The store was loud as usual, people talking and taking items off the shelves while the perpetual ice storm raged outside, and then there was a huge whoosh of wind and silence settled crazily. Five was standing and tugging on her coat again, rubbing her hands together and breaking the ice off the water faucet in the grocery's bathroom. But she looked up, eyes breathlessly wide, when the store fell unsettling quiet. She shook the frosty water from her hands, shouldered her winter backpack, and eased open the bathroom door. Eerie, dusty silence. A piece of paper fell from a shelf and drifted to the floor. Midnight moonlight gapped in sporadically, flashing through the ice storm. There was no one in sight, not cashiers, nor shelf stuckers, nor customers. Five's mouth dropped open involuntarily, and she shut it tightly. She moved through the aisles. They were full, unmolested, silent. Outside, the largest storm since the sixth ice age began, thundered and shouted. "Where is everybody?" Five whispered. The storm shade over the door was trembling, as though somebody had just gone through it. Five shuffled toward the door, lifted the shade with one white finger, and stepped back, mouth open. Thousands of people stood unblinking in the middle of the street, clustered together in a large knot between the snow-draped houses. Thousands of people, both dressed for the outside and not, stood looking up at the sky, ice shards knifing down on them. As Five watched, the storm killed them all. Mercilessly, bloodlessly, quickly. Frozen, dead, gone. The whole town, dead. Five didn't know it, but all over the world, mankind was drawn out into the streets by a strange spirit source and killed by the snowstorm. All but Five, whose bathroom break had saved her life. Only a few luck-doused people, spread out so far over the globe that they could never know the others lived, survived the calling, protected by thick, sound-blurring walls and running water. Just like that, Five was the only one left alive. She stood there, arms hanging down by her sides, watching the storm carry away the limp bodies and start to pick away at the snow-buried houses, flashing sharp, icicled fingers and splaying huge sheets of snow. After an eternity of whiteness and ringing silence, Five collapsed and leaned her head against the back of the door. Her breathing was shaky and uncertain. "But why?" she gasped. What had made all those people walk outside as if in a trance, into the worst storm since the newest ice age began, and fundamentally killed themselves? Something must have drawn them. Five cupped her hand over her mouth and shook. Her throat felt raw, like she should be crying, and wanted to, but couldn't. There was a little cry, like a dog with a broken leg, like a laughing hyena. Five whirled around, screamed, and sighed. To the right of the door, half buried in a stack of fallen newspapers beside the cash register, was a little bundle. "But a baby?" Five stuttered. She brushed a wisp of graying hair back into her mitten hat and pushed the newspapers away with shaking hands. The baby's skin was glowing, a soft yellowish pink, and its mouth was open, shrieking, stopping, and shrieking again. Its red hands were bawled fiercely, and its mouth stretched into a strange grimace as it shrieked and screamed and squeezed its fists. The skin on its forehead was broken, oozing blood, like it had been dropped like a stone to the floor and caught only by newspaper fingers. It was a girl. She was dressed in a heavy white woolen suit with a hood and footies and shivered even as she screamed. "My girl, you look hungry," Five said, an involuntary smile creeping over her face. She picked her up, checked for a monogram, found none. She brushed away the blood, searching for signs of a cracked scalp, and looked around. This is all very sudden, but I guess this is the fastest adoption process in the history of social workers. "A daughter." "Daughter," Five mumbled. "What can I call you?" Her eye caught on the spilled carton of ice-encrusted blackberries, shining in the storm light. The clock over the storm shade read midnight with its wise eyes, the calmest time in the new ice age, and the best time to venture out for supplies. Even the moonlight, resting in a still of the storm, looked sweet and round. Blackberry moonlight, Five thought, and laughed because she sounded poetic. Blackberry, she said. It might be stupid, but there's no one around who could criticize me, I think. She looked around over her shoulder. There might be somebody else out here. For now, Blackberry, we need to survive. The sun shone and the ice whipped and the store was silent, and Blackberry looked up at her new mother with adoration on her face. But then Fi broke the heroic spell by bending and whispering again, like in those adventure books. Day 2920. Fi says it's time for me to pick up writing the log. She's written down every day for the past 8 years, except for one time she missed 3 days because we both had hypothermia, H-I-P-O-T-H-E-R-M-Y-A. We both stayed in the bathroom, which she heated up with a shower curtain from the store and the hot water faucet, and brought in snow to rub our feet with, and got better. Five tells me this should be my log. I can use it to be a journal. She is kneeling behind the cash register, picking the good potatoes out in the floor where I dug a little dirt garden, my garden, and she's singing something I've never heard and telling me that she only wrote real entries once a year. The other day, she just marked the days down. Well, now I'm 8 and I can write okay, so I will. Love, Blackberry. Day 2948. The last of my potatoes are ready now. Five says we can eat on them for a couple of weeks before we plant the next harvest. Yesterday I told her I'm sick of potatoes, even my potatoes, and at first I thought she was going to slap me, but then she just sat down and rubbed her face. The weather, W-H-E-T-H-E-R, has gotten steadily worse for the past year. I can tell. Usually a few feet of snow melt during the months when the storm breaks for the sun, but snow's only gotten higher since I turned 8. Used to be able to keep the dirt in the little square potato garden at least cool, but today Five found shards of ice clustering the corners and growing inward towards our potatoes, and our blackberry garden in the big jam jars in the bathroom has just gotten spindlier, S-P-I-E-N-D-L-I-E-R, and drier, and they're not even sour anymore, just white and plain. Five is worried. I can tell. Love, Blackberry. Day 3497. Five says the ice storm really has started to die. Yesterday she told me about the hurricane on Jupiter. She said the old people scientists, before everybody died. That's way longer than this one, maybe, so far. I don't like that the red spot has a name when my ice storm doesn't. I think the ice storm should be called the White Queen, or Jadis, like in the Narnia book. Five found that book in a locked drawer by the cash register when I was 5 or 4 and we had to force it open. White Queen. I like that. She's still big and loud and beat, B-A-U-T-I-F-U-L. I'll go ask Five. She's taking inventory, she told me, of whatever astronaut food and moldy other things we've got left. Love, Blackberry. Day 5762. My dearest Blackberry, I'm writing this to you because I miss you so heavily much. It's been about a week since your White Queen got you, pulled you out before I could react and killed you before my eyes. And there's not a blink that goes by in my heart that my heart doesn't just hurt pounding in my chest. It's been 13 years total. 13 years of living in Quatara's grocery store with just you. And suddenly the only other person left alive is gone. My daughter, ripped from me. This is it. I'm not going to keep trying to live by myself. It's not worth it. This ice age isn't going to end within my lifetime, no matter how much it weakens. And one woman cannot repopulate the earth alone. I'll never know what drew everyone outside to kill them, or if any other people are still alive, or why your birth mother dropped you into the newspapers. But bless her. She saved us both for a little while. You, because you did not die that day, and me, because I had another soul with which to live. May God bless her. After I finish this, I'm going to fold this up and leave it in front of your square dirt garden, and then I'm going outside. I'm going to walk and walk until I don't realize I'm walking. As I walk, as ice glistens between my eyelashes and creeps toward my heart, I'm going to pray for your forgiveness. I'm not even going to try to live without you. That's it. I can't live without you, so I'm going to die to be with you. I'm no hero, living forever alone because it's the right thing to do. I just love you. I want to see you again. My little Blackberry, given to me wrapped in blackberry moonlight with a bloody forehead. My dearest. My heart. All my love. Five.
We hope you've enjoyed this story, and if you'd like to provide some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments at bluemarblestorytellers.com. If you're a writer and would like to showcase your work on Blue Marble Storytellers, or talk to us about your writing on Read Lots, Write Lots, get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our websites, readlotswritelots.com or bluemarblestorytellers.com, or by sending an email to bluemarblestorytellers@gmail.com. So until next time, thanks for listening, and bye for now.